Romans chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. Abraham justified by faith. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith, who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, to be found 973 on the Church Bible. Matthew chapter 9, page 973, and starting at verse 9, and there will be a break in this reading as we will skip a few verses, but I will say so. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, verse 18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. This is the word of the Lord.
If those of you who like the analogy of the half-filled glass, it would look at it either way. So how large or how small is your faith? And some of you might be sitting here and might be quite confident that you have that faith that God can do anything for you and are sure of God's love and promises. Some of you might not be so sure of your faith. You might not expect God to work powerfully. Perhaps you think that others may have that experience, but you're happy with the experience that you have. Or I suggest, and I put myself in this category more often than not, that sometimes my faith is very big, particularly when I've had a good experience, but at others, it can flounder. And I think we all live lives like that at times. So we had those two readings today, and they are actually about faith, as I said to Tim earlier on, and I could see how the two came together, thinking about Abraham and thinking about faith that we have in that Matthew passage. And really, the examples of faith, the results have the most unexpected things happen, and they're completely related. Sometimes we as preachers have great difficulty when we get the readings and we look at one and read one and we look at the other one and we think, actually, I'm not quite sure which one. I'll go with this one because this is the one I want to talk about. But these two really married up very well. So we're going to focus on Matthew's passage, but we must remember that faith started with Abraham. Abraham's righteousness and his call to faith and his understanding that God was bigger than the world around him. So in the first place, faith is about obeying, putting things right with God, and then following. So we'll start with Matthew's faith. Now, it's an interesting thing here because commentators will tell you that the Matthew that is mentioned in as the tax booth is actually the Matthew who's written that gospel. And you'll note that he's just told it in a very, not calling himself Matthew, but just relating the story. And Matthew does that right through. And you'll notice, if those of you reading John's gospel, that he does that as well. The little phrase that he uses, the one who Jesus loved, is actually John, but he doesn't actually say, "That is me." And there were very good reasons for that. What they were wanting to concentrate on is it was Jesus. This was what Jesus did. And not have this idea that this is Matthew, this is John, and all these things were, you know, this is me. It was actually putting the focus on Jesus. So Matthew doesn't refer to himself directly, but he's in trying to engage with what would have been the early Jewish church, the first believers who were Jews. And that's essentially where this gospel was written. And he was reminding them that even sinners can have faith. And believe me, tax collectors, of course, were classed as sinners. They weren't well regarded at all. And so the Pharisees thought that faith was not actually for them. It's worth noting that Jesus didn't ask Matthew to do anything other than follow him. That's the words he used. And Matthew doesn't do anything else but obey that instruction. In Greek, the word that's used in that reading is he got up and followed him. The Greek word for got up actually means arose, or is connected with that word which we use for resurrection. In fact, he got up, he arose and went there. And it was clear that that was a life-changing experience. And so, who is faith for? The end of that little encounter where Jesus talks about who he has come to have faith for, it wasn't for those who already had faith, it's for those who needed it. And he uses that analogy of when you go to see a doctor, you don't go to see a doctor if you're well, but you go and see a doctor if you're unwell. And Jesus had come for those who were in need of a faith. And the answer is to follow what Jesus had said. There's no great miracles happening in that little passage, but simply that a life has been changed. We can make that change today. We can follow if we don't know Jesus, and he will simply come and change us. We can arise, using that resurrection word, from whatever disturbs us and whatever life we are living. Nothing is too difficult for God to change. And then we come to Abraham. Abraham had that faith to follow. If you read about Abraham in Genesis, you'll know that actually he was a very wealthy man. He owned a lot of land and cattle, and he could have stayed there, but God asked him to move, and he arose and followed. And this is the faith that Romans is talking about, the faith, much like Matthew in the Gospel, of a simple act of following. And from that act, a great nation was born. And God would test that faith much later on. If you go a bit further on, you'll remember the story of Isaac's sacrifice, or the sacrificing of Isaac. And sometimes it's like that. God is testing our faith. Are we confident to keep following Jesus? So then we move on to the next part. And for that, we can sort of say we can expect faith. We can expect God to act. Our faith expects God to act. The woman healed from bleeding expected Jesus to heal her. Do we have a big enough faith to expect healing? Can we be healed by faith, knowing that we can just do a simple thing and we will be healed? Most of you know, over years of time, we have these big healing events that happen, you know, all over the world, and very great things happen. You know, people who are in wheelchairs have walked, people who've not been able to see have been healed. And I'm absolutely sure God would use every opportunity to heal. But if you look at that second healing here, it doesn't quite happen like that. The woman didn't actually make a big thing about it. All she wanted to do was to touch Jesus' clothes. She expected Jesus to heal, but all she had to do was something very simple. Now, on the outside, that woman would have looked quite normal. But she would have been an outcast. Back in those days, there were laws in place, and probably for very good reasons, because infection wasn't able to be dealt with. If people became ill, they could die very quickly. So there were laws in place to ensure that infection didn't spread. And one of those, the two things that they were most concerned about, was bleeding and touching dead bodies. That's where they felt that there was a real thing. In our medicines today, of course, we deal with infection of that sort. We don't outcast people. But in those days, if people had those things, there was ritual cleaning that had to go on after that. This woman couldn't go for ritual cleaning. She was bleeding the whole time. So it didn't stop. and she couldn't go. So she was a very real outcast. So look at her faith. What she had to do was just to touch Jesus. A glancing touch, just at that. And Jesus recognised this her faith by doing that. She wasn't going to talk to him in any particular way. She wasn't going to literally... We have stories in the gospel where we have people coming through roofs, haven't we, to get to Jesus. She didn't do that. She just literally touched his clothes. And what her faith was recognising who Jesus was. That he was the Son of God. So do we need to find healing? Have we the faith that we just have to ask and it will happen? And it might not always be physical healing. We can think about our relationships, things that have happened to us. All those things that we just need to have faith and ask for. We do have a habit of asking God the same thing over and over again. And I often think, why do we do this? Do we think that God doesn't hear us? Actually, the Bible says we should be persistent and we should pray. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. We should. And we know that sometimes God doesn't heal. It's difficult for us. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have faith that God will heal and that we can ask. What we need to remember is that God knows the bigger picture when we don't. Over many years, this church has had that experience many times, where what we've asked for hasn't always happened. But we still have that faith that we still will ask. We will be persistent and ask. And we know that God will heal. We see that Abraham was not wavering through unbelief regarding the promises of God. And even when, if you read the Genesis story, Sarah tries to help God along with his plan, his faith remained that that would happen. Thirdly, we actually should expect big things of God. The final act by the synagogue leader led to a miracle that no one would expect. We do know that the child had been dead probably for some hours by the time Jesus got there. And the man knew this, but he had the faith to believe that if Jesus put his hand on her, she would live. When everything was hopeless, this man had the faith to believe circumstances could be changed. The reaction of the noisy crowd when Jesus came and said she was asleep was to laugh at him. See, they knew the difference, or they thought they knew the difference, between being asleep and being dead. And they assumed that there was no coming back. But look what happened. And the word that is used for the little girl, she arose, is that same word that is used for Matthew when he got up and means resurrected. You see, this is a big thing and is an impossible thing. In our age, we tend to limit God. It's easier, I think, to have faith in things that we might expect to happen. It's much more difficult if it's impossible. So when we look at Abraham, we see that his faith was believing in something that was impossible. He thought he was too old, and certainly Sarah was well past having babies. But God could do otherwise. There may be times, and they may not be as dramatic as these, but there are times when God can do the impossible, and we should have the faith to expect it. With all of this, notice the last verse of Matthew 9 that we had read. News of this spread through the whole region. We shouldn't be keeping that good news to ourselves. Talking about our faith, telling others what God has done for you, that can be, in words we have used before, as invitational, inviting. It may not always mean coming to Sunday service is this, but things that go on and talking to people, telling them what's happening in our lives, that can help them to make room for Jesus. Jesus understands the importance of faith. And in fact, he doesn't always ask us to have huge amounts of it. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So, do we have the faith to follow? Put things right with God and stay the course. It might well be costly. It will certainly change us. So follow Jesus today. Do we have faith to expect God to act? The simple thing is to pray or just reach out to touch Jesus. We may not need words or liturgy. Expect Jesus to answer. Do we have faith to expect the impossible? We don't have to limit God. God can move mountains and he can do the impossible. Don't limit what God can do. Expect great things of Jesus. I'm just going to end with reading some lines from a song that you will all know very well, but just he talks about how we can use our faith. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you give us faith. Faith to believe that you are the one who will save us, and to be able to follow you. Faith that expects that you will act, that you will meet our needs, and faith that can meet the impossible when things are difficult and when we feel sad. And we pray, Lord, that you will make our faith stronger so that we can walk on water, so that we can be rooted to you and in your love. Amen.